Support for this week's episode of Dice and Desire is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped recently launched the ultimate men's hygiene bundle, the Performance Package. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code DESIRE20 at manscaped.com. If my maths is correct, that's about 8 million balls. The Performance Package contains the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, Performance Boxer Briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies. First off, the Lawnmower 4.0. Now, I've always been a bit hesitant to run a razor over my balls, and at my age, I'm not overwhelmed by an abundance of scrotal elasticity, but the lawnmower was easy to use, and any fears of nicking were quickly put to rest. As a committed head shaver, I even gave it a run over my head. It's waterproof, so I used it in the shower, and anything that saves an additional job of cleaning up is a bonus in my book. My head's just about the only part of my body that doesn't sprout hair, so the Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer, which is also featured in the Performance Package 4.0, is a bit of a lifesaver. The Weed Whacker's also waterproof, and it provides proprietary skin-safe technology which helps reduce nicks, snags and tugs in those delicate nose holes. The Crop Preserver ball deodorant and Crop Reviver ball toner will change the way you approach your hygiene routine. Trust me when I say this, fellas, your balls will thank you. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. I'll be honest, I thought the bag was fantastic. It's a really nice piece of kit. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code DESIRE20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code DESIRE20. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
Observation. We task the rogue to act as our spy. Will the children be inside in Dice and Desire?
You're now the other side of the fence.
I'll have a sneak around the building, just looking in windows, just seeing what I can see. I don't know how much of it you want me to roleplay that out, because we could go on forever.
Yeah, no, we'll just take it very, very briefly. So you're just wanting to look around and look at the windows and look through the windows and see what you can see, right?
As stealthily as possible, ideally. I don't want to just go up and rub my face against the window or anything.
Yeah, so give me a roll on stealth.
That is an unnatural 21.
Okay, so yeah, you managed to
21, is it?
Huh? Well, no, because it could be a 20 plus a 1, but it's.
Still not a natural 21, is it?
What? I said unnatural 21.
Yeah, so Stuart's saying it can't be a natural 21, can it?
Well, no, but it could have been a natural 20 plus 1 is what I'm saying. It's not. Fucking hell. Fine. It's 12 plus 9. Let's get real specific.
What does that...
What?
Huh? 12 plus 9.
What?
What does that add up to?
12 plus 9, 21.
Is that natural or
unnatural?
Yeah, keep talking.
So you now find yourselves yourself up close with this house. It's no better looking up close. There's it's just a very cold looking, but equally trying to be fancy looking house. There's quite a lot of like stonework going on the outside, quite a few like statues and whatnot. Can I get a perception check?
You certainly can. That's not as good. That is 5.
Fine. Okay. So you see like lots of little statues across the, like the top of the building, as well as just lots of like leaf work, like it carved in stone and everything. It's just horrible. You make your way round the building. You don't find any sort of open windows, if that's what you were looking for. Everything's pretty much closed shop. But you see through a couple of windows that the lights are on inside, and you can see inside. And again, it's garish inside. It's very much not in terms of, it's not the same as say Lord Bong Rickens' house, where it's someone with clearly no taste or bad taste, I should say. This is someone who's just a show off. This is just someone who's decorated the place in a look at me kind of way. And as you're making your way around, you actually come to one of the rooms and you see sat in a chair, smoking a pipe, a very long pipe with some wisps of smoke coming out the top of it. You see a tiefling. Purple skinned, and he is sat there in his library and he's just reading a book. Can I have another perception from you?
You certainly can. That's a bit better. What's perception? That's 13.
He looks smug. You can tell even from this, just from a guy reading on his own, he looks arrogant.
I read a book a week.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He's probably got a couple of books in him. He doesn't notice you. But he's just sitting there smoking, reading the pipe. In terms of attire, smoking jacket. The guy thinks he's Hugh Hefner. Long rest his soul. So that's all you see. You make, I don't know if there's anything you want to do with that, or whether you want to carry on around the building, or...
I'll observe him for a little bit, but presumably he just carries on reading. He doesn't talk to anyone or get up or anything.
Depending on how long you sit there, but assuming you're going to be there for a very brief moment just to have a look, he's just sat there on his own.
Okay. Just reading. Could I go round near to the front door and just see if I can see, like, yep. I don't know if they have letterboxes or anything like that in this day and age, but anything, any small gap in the door?
No, there's no such thing as a letterbox of what you're trying to describe. You approach the front of the door, very grandiose, large doors, large wooden doors. It's probably the only bit of wood that you can actually see on this building.
Does it have a window in the door at all, or anything I could peer through, like a keyhole, I guess?
You can look through a keyhole. There is a relatively large keyhole. You can look through that if you want to give me an investigation or perception, whatever's best for you.
If I get to pick, investigation would be good. I'm specifically looking to see if there's any shoes by the door, like in the entrance way from where people may have taken their shoes off, and what size shoes I might see. 17 plus investigation, did we say? Plus 6. 23.
So you can't make out a great detail looking through a keyhole. But you can see like a large open, what you can tell is a large open foyer, marble flooring. And shoes, you can't see any, realistically. The angle, there might be shoes behind the door, but realistically, you're not going to be able to see from the angle that you can do. It's a well-lit, extravagant foyer with double staircases. Of course, it's got double staircases leading up.
Okay, and I don't hear anything at all?
Nope.
Cool.
Nope, just you might hear the faintest of like a fire crackling.
Okay.
Just from like...
I'll head back to where I came in, climb the tree, and just jump down on the other side and reach... Well, first I'll speak to them, the other guys through the fence and say, report everything I've seen before deciding to climb or not.
Okay. Any of you got any retorts before he returns?
Merely asking Dweezil what our plan is. Dweezil, how are we going to approach this conversation with this tiefling?
Has Dabov just fed back absolutely everything to us then?
Yeah, basically you heard what I heard. Like,
yeah.
Just, there's no reason for me to keep anything secret, is there?
If Dabov says that this man looks smug, what we know about him based on his property is that he probably has an incredibly high opinion of himself. I think that the wisest thing to do would be to play up to that.
Flattery, the way to the man's heart.
Absolutely.
Pretend that we want magic lessons and ask him if he's given any other magic lessons recently.
Yeah, that's a great idea, Colonel Mustard.
Sorry, are you going in with code names again this time? Dabov, what are you doing? Are you staying that side of the fence, or are you going to come back over, or what are you doing?
I'll climb the tree and then jump down on the other side.
Coming out of the garden only to go back in through the front door.
Let's try the gate.
Okay. So yeah, you make your way back around to the front of the property, and there is indeed you find yourself back at the gate, and there's a latch on it, and you reach out to it, and it's unlocked. It's open. You can walk into the property, should you see fit.
I do indeed see fit. I unlatch it, push it just about an inch, move my hand, and then kick it the rest of the way.
Of course you do. Of course you do. There's nothing like trying to play up someone's good books by smashing in their front gate.
I didn't boot it. I just kicked it.
Kicked it, which is okay. Almost more aggressive.
I don't think he's peeking through his blinds at us. Like, this is purely for my satisfaction.
Okay, so you roll me a strength check then, please, Krill.
A 16 overall.
16. This is a perfectly well-oiled and working gate. You are a perfectly strong half-orc. You have first opened said gate, so there is nothing impeding it. A 16 is sufficient for this gate to go fully, quickly, and hardly swinging open, clattering as it hits its full extension.
Why do I feel like you're talking like a lawyer in court?
And with that, can you please roll me initiative?
Oh, we're going to well fuck this gate up.
Of course.
Why would
that not happen?
Are we all rolling initiative, presumably?
Yeah, I mean, why would you just enter a property that you're willing to talk to somebody calmly when you could just boot the front gate in?
Listen, it was intended to be a gentle kick, all right?
Probably shouldn't have rolled a 16 then.
There's no such thing as gently kicking in the front door or front
gate.
So
you've never had to shut a door with your foot because your hands are full? With
I don't open doors 1 inch and then kick them.
Listen, I simply pushed it. I pushed it with my foot.
Should have said pushed it, not kicked it.
Yeah, words.
19.
Words, isn't it?
17.
11.
Quinch reaches for hay shit and finds a scimitar.
Because I don't have a map for this encounter, because obviously, why would I?
This is some bullshit.
Why would you?
Well, I'm just thinking.
To be fair, if you show up at my house and kick my gate in, I'd fucking attack you as well.
I didn't kick the gate. I pushed it with my foot.
You said booted.
My hands were full of battering ram. All right.
Right. Hang on. Can we just take a second? And maybe Sam/Krill. Maybe this is a learning exercise for decorum. What a sad little life. Right. So top of the order is Dweezil with 23, then we've got Quinch with 19, Gregomel with 17, Something with 15, Krill with 11, and Dabov with 7.
Just before we kick into the combat, Krill says, "My foot slipped," and then he looks around, somewhat guilty looking, to the rest of the party.
Dabov says, what, did you mean to kick it harder?
I say, have you ever tried to open something with your foot? Apparently our DM hasn't.
Man who has continuously and constantly battered in doors with his foot suddenly tries to claim that he gently nudged a gate open.
I'm not arguing that point.
Yep, exactly. Oh, I only bought a battering ram for some jewellery.
Still holding it.
Did you attach it to your foot? Was it a new shoe for you?
Yeah.
If he's holding it, I believe equipping a weapon or unequipping anything is an action, isn't it?
Why don't you kiss my ass? I can drop it.
Right. With that, Dweezil, what do you do?
What can I see? What am I?
Right now, nothing.
Then how would we know we're in combat if we don't see anything?
Well, it's, these things happen, don't they? So you're that's a mechanic thing. That is a mechanic thing that, yes, you would know that you're in combat. That doesn't, however, mean that you're not in combat.
Do I know I'm in combat?
No. I mean, you have not been surprised. So you can just carry on as with. Obviously, we don't have a map for this or anything, so it'll have to be theatre of the mind. But yeah, you don't know that you're in combat currently.
I think I will simply then, in which case I.
But it's worth noting you were obviously of the plan that you were going to approach this property calmly and quietly, and one of your teammates has just kicked in the front door. So you would maybe be on edge. Well, the front gate, sorry. The frontest of doors.
The clang of the gate, I think, is what's alerted Dweezil to, like, it just caught me off guard because, I mean, we spoke about exactly what we were going to do, then this sound just kind of breaks the silence, doesn't it? So the clang has put me on edge, but as I look round, other than a giant green bell end,
I've not got my knob out, thanks.
I see very little else, but Dweezil is, I suppose, alerted to a danger and readies his tongue to say words if necessary.
Okay. So are you holding an action or are you...
Yeah, I'm gonna hold an action, yeah.
Okay, and what on based on what something attacking or something
based on that he's looking around for something that's a possible threat.
But is there a trigger? What's the trigger? I guess
the trigger is a foe becoming apparent.
Right. Okay, that's fine. Okay, Quinch, run away.
Quinch slowly approaches the front door.
Okay, so I didn't give you a picture. There's probably between you and the front door, like I say, this guy is very up his own arse, and he's got a driveway despite the fact car's not existing. It's probably about 50 foot between the gate and the front door of the building.
So Quinch earlier said that he went to reach for Haysha and found a scimitar. He didn't do that because he didn't realise that combat hadn't started, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine. I just want to clarify, do you think it's called a scimitar, or is that just Quinch doing the word thing?
Quinch doing the word thing, I obviously know it's a skymitar, because it'd be stupid to call it a scimitar. No, scimitar, it's obviously a silent S. Embarrassing.
Very much so. Okay.
Quinch actually approaches incredibly slowly. Obviously, the plans seem to have changed. He's now not wanting to escalate any situation further and thinks that readying a weapon would be a foolish thing to do. So he merely slowly walks, I assume, 25 feet. No, sorry, I've got 40 feet welcome speed now. So he walks, if he can get as far as 10 feet before the door, then he does so.
Okay, so yeah, you stop 10 feet before the door, and presuming you do nothing else, Greg, what would you like to do?
Very much the same. I mean, if there's nothing around that we can see, I would just head towards the door, like we're going to go knock on the door.
Okie dokie. So how far, what's your walking speed? Are you flying?
My walking speed is 30. 30. So, I could... No, I'll walk because it's on someone's ground, so I'll walk up to the door.
You'll be respectful, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, so you get obviously a little bit just behind Quinch, about 10 feet behind Quinch. Okie dokie. Okay. As in fact, basically almost reacting to the fact that two of you have entered the property. Dweezil, did you actually enter into the property, or did you? Are you still at the gate, did you say?
I'm still at the gate.
You're still at the gate. So the other three of you are at the gate, and the other two of you are now inside the property. Just as you sort of get to the extent of your walking speed, both of you hear like an almost creaking coming from on top of the building. And all of a sudden you notice two large wings unfurl from creatures, a creature on the corner of each of the, on each of the corner of the buildings. And two gargoyles come flying down from the building.
Ooh, nice.
They are going to swoop down their nearest foes, I guess. You know, someone's into the property. They're going to, the first of which is going to fly directly at Quinch.
Oh, some aerial combat. I like this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Winged on
it's
winged.
Like Top Gun.
Who's the one that dies in Top Gun?
Spoilers.
Goose.
I mean, dramatically, doesn't do a good acting performance. 10.
No, but Goose actually does die. His character.
Right. Okay. 10 presumably doesn't hit, does it, Quinch?
No, that's right. Okay. It doesn't.
So it lashes out with its claws. You manage to bat those away, but at the same time, it comes swooping in with a second attack, which is a bite, which is an awful natural one. So that definitely doesn't hit. The second of these gargoyles will roll a different dice because those dice weren't very good, and swoops down onto Greg. Oh, that one's going to hit. That's a 22.
That's definitely going to hit, yeah.
Okie dokie. And so, yeah, that's slashes at you with its claws, dealing a damage of 5.
Okay.
And as it does so, almost sort of, not fully clinging with its claws, but it then lunges at you with its jaws to bite you. That hits as well. That's a 23.
Okay.
And that does 6 damage with its bite, lunging, just biting into your shoulder. So that's 11 damage that does.
We still got the 9 temps, haven't we? So
the what, sorry?
We had 9 temporary hit points.
We hired some temps to come with us last time.
That's what I thought you said. Night. We've still got the night temps, right? They're with us.
They're with us.
So yeah, so that's the end of their turn. Krill, you're up. I'm assuming your foot is still sort of like hovering midair.
It's been 6 seconds, so I imagine he's probably like, ah, this is awkward. Krill, I mean, he's nowhere near anything, is he? Like, no potential to.
Actually, what I'm going to say before Krill takes his move, Dweezil, does your held action kick in?
Yeah, it would do, I suppose. How far away from me are these gargoyles?
So one of them is basically on, or not on, but very much on top of Greg, so about 30 foot, and the other one's 40 foot away.
I'll pop off a dissonant whispers. I think at the one on top of Greg, I'll say the words. Constance evade me, my words clash evermore. Dissonance embrace ye, leave, I must implore. And I'll pop off just at first level, a dissonant whispers on the gargoyle that's on Greg. So it'll require a wisdom saving throw. Hopefully they're not the wisest things.
Oh, especially not with that throw either. That's a 7 overall.
So that fails. It's going to take 16 psychic damage.
16 psychic damage. Okie dokie. Yeah. Okie dokie. And anything else?
Yeah, it uses its reaction to move its full distance away from me.
Is that the frightened condition?
No.
No. It just moves, does it? Okay.
It just moves away from me, yeah.
So yeah, it takes that damage and it instantly just flaps its wings and it goes flying basically straight up in the air. Does it have to use it immediately?
Yeah, it's as a reaction, yeah.
As a reaction. Okay. So it flies literally basically pretty much actually basically where it was. It's Oh no, it has to use its full distance, doesn't it? So it flies basically 60 foot straight up in the air.
Attack of opportunity from Greg?
Not only is if it moves voluntary, I don't think involuntary movement is...
Right, okay.
Is AOC. Oh. No. Attack of opportunity, AOO.
A-O.
AOC is, of course, the wonderful politician, and as far as I know, not a fan of D&D. So that's your turn. I think with held actions, isn't it? Oh, no, I'm thinking of Pathfinder. So that's your held action. That just happens. Krill, we're back to you then.
Would dropping the ram be a free action?
Dropping, yes.
Okay. I'm going to ask if I could do this as an action. So I drop the ram. Krill has javelins as a weapon, but they are, I guess, on his back. So he would reach over, and in the same action as pulling it off his back, he would throw it in like as one swing almost.
I now realistically, we've never played it this way because I don't want to be too much of that guy. So realistically, what should happen is that should be an action to draw the weapon. And then that would be the end of your turn, really, because you can't then you can't use it as a bonus action to throw, and obviously because you haven't used your first action to attack, don't even get a second attack. I think that's how that works. Anyway, oh no, I think second attack for you is fine. I think.
Well, my second attack would also be a javelin, so I'd have to do the same thing for both.
What I'm going to say is because you're essentially trying to draw it from your back, I'm going to allow it as one swooping motion. But I'm going to allow it at disadvantage.
And is that going to be on both attacks? It's going to be at disadvantage.
Yeah, because my thinking in this, from just a purely role-playing point of view, is because you've not got it yourself set, you're literally trying to throw it in one quick motion from your back. Yeah. So I'm realistically, I shouldn't even allow you to do that. It should literally be drawing to be
its whole. It's a compromise.
It's whole action. So I'm going to allow it, but only at a disadvantage.
Okay. So. What's the range you would say on the first one? Because I've got
so the one on Quinch is assuming you're right by the gate is 40 foot from you.
Okay, so my range is 30 and then 120. So I can't have a double disadvantage, can I? So it would just be disadvantage.
No, so it's between. You would just be disadvantaged, yeah.
Okay, so either way, it would have been disadvantage. So, so I throw at the first one. Does a 14 hit?
A 14 doesn't hit, no. So you throw the javelin at it, and it actually uses one of its wings just to sort of basically sweep it aside.
Okay. And then with my second attack action, I do the same again. Ooh, a natural 20 on the first one. Does a 19 hit on the second?
It does, yes. So again, which one are you aiming at? Is this the one on Quinch again?
It would just be the same one.
Same one, yeah. So that hits that one.
I don't get a lot of damage on these ones, to be fair. I don't know why.
No, javelins are pretty. No. Is that, what is it, 1d6 or something like 1d8? 1d6
plus my strength. Yeah, no, I've got a roll. So 9 overall.
Okay. So yeah, this one, as it sweeps away the first javelin, it doesn't see the second one coming. You followed up in quite quick succession.
Yeah.
This one slams into the shoulder of the gargoyle, dealing it with sufficient damage.
I know we don't count ammunition, but I'm going to count that first javelin as unrecoverable if it's sort of shot off into the unknown.
Yeah, after the game, or sorry, after the attack, I'm happy for you to find it. It's not like it's broken or anything like that. He's just swatted it away with his wing. It's just somewhere in the ground, somewhere you'd have to, in theory, look for it.
Okay, if I remember to. If not, I'll just count it as gone.
Okay, so that's that. Who's up next? Is that you're going to move? Are you just going to stay there or anything?
I guess I was stood on one side of the gate, and either before or after I've thrown, we'll say that I moved through the gate.
Okay. So you move through the gate, and let's just say you move 5 foot. You're literally the other side of the gate. You're in the grounds now. Yeah, unless you want to go further.
I mean, if we do it afterwards, if it's after, so we'll say I'll have moved 5 foot before, and then I will have moved the full 35 foot potential.
Okay, so you're basically alongside. Let's say you're alongside Quinch, essentially. Assuming you're going directly that way,
I'll go straight as I can.
Okay. It's worth noting the gargoyle is basically over Quinch at this point. So in terms of things like flanking would be very difficult to do at this point because he is above you. Davov.
Cool. So I'm guessing I'm outside of the gate.
Yep, you're the last remaining person. Well, and Sebastian. You're the last remaining creatures this side of the gate.
What's the fence like either side of the gate, just out of curiosity? Can you see through it at all?
Yes, it's like... it's like railings.
Metal railings, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to stand in the gateway. I don't know how much of my movement that would take, just so I can get a clear shot on the gargoyles.
Okay.
I'm guessing they're within 80 feet of me.
Yep.
So I'm just going to take a shot.
Where are you in the grounds?
Just stood in the gateway.
The one above Quinch is definitely within 80 foot. The one that's flying up probably is just outside that 80 foot range because he's basically 60 foot directly up, but he's also about 30 foot. I'd have to work out the I'd have to work out the geometry on it, but he's probably outside.
I'll attack the one that's with Quinch. Is he within range of Quinch? Would it count?
He's literally just he's basically on top. He's sort of scrambling at him essentially. He's attacked him.
Okay.
Unsuccessfully. So I'd get, but he's directly on top of him, so to speak.
So I'd get sneak attack, yeah?
Yep.
Cool. Then I'll attack with my short bow for him. Six to hit. Oh, I've rolled a natural 20.
Nice.
Lovely.
So that's 6 for the damage, which is doubled, isn't it?
Yeah, 12. Sneak attack's damage doubled as well.
Oh, sneak attack doubled as well.
I think so. Would it be? Is sneak attack doubled? I've always assumed it would be.
I didn't think it was.
No, I don't believe so. It's just
your regular
dice. It's only the attack.
Okay. Yeah.
I didn't think it was, so I'm happy to say it wasn't. So I've rolled 12.
Hang on a second. The DM has final say, but so this is Jeremy Crawford saying the immortal question. The DM has final say, but the intent is for sneak attack dice to be rolled again on a critical hit. So bear in mind we double. It seems so. It doesn't seem like it's specifically covered.
This could be interesting then. So that's 12 on the normal attack. Let me write this down. 12 on the normal attack. So I get 3d6 for my sneak attack. So the first two, 5 and a 1, so I've rolled a 6. Then the additional 1 is another 5. What's that, 11?
So 23 overall, yeah?
That's 22 for the sneak attack and 12 for the normal attack. Actually, no, I need to double 20. No.
No, that's the double. That's all double.
So it's 34 overall damage.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Done all right there.
Okay. Yep. That it?
And unless there's anywhere around, such as some shrubbery or anywhere that I can hide, that I can get to and hide at all.
There's some shrubbery and stuff around, like the garden's well preserved, so if there's anywhere you want to hide then feel free.
If I can get on the other side of a hedge, not in the hedge but just on the other side of a hedge and try and crouch and hide.
Can you roll me a sneak then, please?
Stealth roll,
yeah
that is an unnatural 20.
Okie dokie.
11 plus 9 for anyone that wants to get really technical. And
you managed to find yourself hidden.
Nice. And that's the end of my turn.
Okay. Dweezil.
So what have I got in with it? Where are the gargoyles now?
So one is still on top of Quinch, so to speak, and the other one is 60 foot up in the air. Where did you end up in the end? Can you remember where you...
I'm still at the gates. I haven't moved.
Oh, you didn't come in. Sorry. Sorry. No. I thought you'd come in. So you're still at the gates then, yeah. So there. So that one is about 40 foot away from you, give or take. And the other one is, from where you are, mathematically speaking, probably about 100, over 100 foot away.
That's the one that I've already blasted.
Yep.
I'm just going to. The one that's on Quinch, I think it's silly to kind of spunk spell slots at this point. So I'm just going to... The gargoyle that's on Quinch, I'm just going to tell it, your intellect is paltry, your strength is feeble too, your odour is repugnant, I mock sir, I mock you. And I just add to it, I go, you pathetic, tiny creature, gargoyle, gargoyle, I've seen Quinch gargle bigger than you.
Hey.
as I unleash Vicious Mockery at it. So we'll require a wisdom saving throw, please, Nathaniel John.
Ooh, that's a 9.
That fails, so it's going to take, that's pathetic, 3 psychic damage. It's got disadvantage on its next attack roll as well.
Oh, okay. Yep. Yeah. Is that it for your turn?
Yes.
Okay. Quinch.
Quinch is going to perform a Shoryuken.
Yep.
Shoryuken! Uppercut with Storm Duster.
Okie dokie. I think I gave you slightly modified unarmed damage for that, didn't I?
Yes. So 1d4 plus 3. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, slight buff. Plus 6 on to 11 for 17.
17 hits.
17 hits for 5 damage. Bludgeoning.
Okie dokie. You get a second attack.
Correct, which is going to follow up with a scimitar. Oh dear, that is a critical miss.
Did you... Scimitar's one-handed, so I presume you had your scimitar already in hand, and you just hit with the other one. Right, okay. Yeah, that misses. The other... So we're back to the Gurgle's turn. Oh no, sorry, tell we're at Grogomil's turn.
Outrageous. The one that attacks me, is it still on me, or is it above me?
It's 60 foot up in the air.
Right, in that case, it's going to get a cantrip going at it. The cantrip going at it is going to be a firebolt.
Okay.
So, it's going to give me a 23 to attack it.
23 hits, yep.
And damage-wise, it's a 10 and a 4, so 14 damage.
14 damage. Yeah, takes all of that.
Nice.
How much was it? Sorry.
Nice.
Need to update.
14 total.
14, yeah. Yeah. And
if there's anything flammable around it, that ignites as well. But I take it a gargoyle is not flammable.
No, a gargoyle is not flammable. And we're back to the gargoyles. But before they can do it or do anything at this point, a booming voice shouts out, "What on earth do you think you're doing?" Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, hit the subscribe button on your favourite podcast app to ensure you don't miss any future instalments of Dice and Desire. And in the meantime, if you want to interact with us, come and find us on Twitter and Instagram at Dice and Desire.